The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 9 verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 9 verses 10 through 17, and this is what it says. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we are to go and buy food for all of these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. The Scripture lesson for today is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is the one miracle of Jesus that is contained in all 4 Gospels. It is found in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. The gist of it is this. Jesus was in the area under the jurisdiction of Herod the Tetrarch, who heard reports about Jesus working miracles and thought that he was John the Baptist, whom he had beheaded. He thought that John was perhaps raised from the dead. Jesus apparently wanted to avoid Herod. And he also wanted to be alone with his disciples, so he withdrew to a solitary place. Crowds of people from the towns followed him on foot, saw where he went, and gathered there. The disciples suggested that Jesus send the crowds away to fend for themselves because it was time to eat and there was surely not enough food to go around. Jesus instructed his disciples to feed the crowd, and they replied that there simply was not enough food. In fact, all they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied them and fed the whole multitude, which numbered 5,000 men besides women and children. If there was one woman and one child for every man, then the crowd numbered 15,000. If there were 2 children and 1 woman with every man, then the crowd numbered 20,000. Here is a man who can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and multiply them to feed 5,000 or 15,000 or 20,000 people with 12 basketfuls left over. This is not an ordinary man. This is someone of extraordinary abilities. This is someone who must be heard. This is someone who must be known. This is someone who must be followed. There's a resemblance here to the Exodus, when God fed the wandering Israelites manna in the wilderness. The God who fed the Israelites in the wilderness was here in the person of Jesus, feeding the multitudes bread and fish. The disciples almost missed something that day. If the disciples had had their way, the crowds would have been sent away to the nearby villages to buy their own food. But Jesus would not let the disciples send the crowds away because He had something else in mind. Jesus intended to demonstrate for His disciples and for this crowd His compassion and His power. Both of those things are demonstrated in the feeding of the 5,000. And I want you to see that this morning. First of all, the compassion of Jesus compelled Him to feed this crowd in spite of the interruption it caused Him and His disciples. Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples in 6 pairs to go to the small towns to preach and minister as an extension of His mission. We saw that last Sunday. Now the disciples returned to Jesus after some time and reported to Him, weary and worn from the work that they had been doing. The original intent had been to go to a remote place to get away from the crowds, but the crowds followed. The crowds were disrupting what would have been a sort of a weekend retreat with Jesus and His disciples. The disciples were aggravated by this crowd of people who were interrupting their agenda. They appealed to Jesus to send the crowds away. Is that not just like us? We actually treat situations that don't fit our agenda as aggravative interruptions rather than opportunities for ministry. It is aggravating sometimes to have to interrupt our plans, our agendas to minister to people, but Jesus' compassion will not let our inconvenience stop us from ministering to people in need. Secondly, the compassion of Jesus led Him to feed this crowd in spite of the largeness of the task. The compassion of Jesus will not overburden His ability to provide, because not only is He compassionate, but He is also omnipotent. This miracle tells us something about the power of Jesus, or the ability of Jesus. Jesus is powerful, and the extent of His power is demonstrated by several things in this passage. The power of Jesus is demonstrated, first of all, by the calculations of the disciples. Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." The disciples looked at the size of this crowd and calculated how much money it would cost to feed them all. They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." And the implication is that there's no way that we have enough money to feed all of these people. It would take an enormous amount of money to feed this crowd of people. Just think about going to a fast food restaurant and buying 5,000 Happy Meals. It would cost about $25,000, and the disciples didn't carry around that kind of money. It was economically unfeasible for that small group of disciples to try to feed that large crowd of people. The power of Jesus is demonstrated, secondly, by the paltry resources available. The text says that they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. All the commentators will tell you that these were not loaves of bread like we buy in the grocery store. Each loaf was probably a small thing about the size of a Hostess Twinkie. And the fish were probably dried fish or pickled fish, and small, maybe like sardines. This was a little boy's lunch. His mother had fixed his lunch of bread and sardines before she sent him off that morning. It was a meager amount of food for a large crowd of people. The power of Jesus is demonstrated thirdly by the size of the crowd. Luke tells us in verse 14, "For there were about 5,000 men." When it says 5,000 men, it uses a word for men that means men in distinction from women, rather than a generic word for men which could mean both men and women. And Matthew says that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So, for that reason, some Bible commentators have suggested that this crowd could have been 15 or 20,000 in size, counting the women and children. But we won't make too big of a deal out of that, because it was a large crowd. It was a large crowd whether there were 5,000 or 15,000 or 20,000. Fourthly, the power of Jesus is demonstrated by the multiplication of the small lunch. Verse 11 says, "Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish." So Jesus took this lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied it so that everyone in that large crowd had plenty to eat. It was a miracle of creative power, similar to something that happened thousands of years earlier in the days of Moses. And it was reminiscent of Moses and the children of Israel. When the Israelites were in the wilderness with Moses after their exodus from Egypt, God provided manna for them to eat every morning. They would wake up every morning and there would be this bread from heaven on the ground for them to eat. How did it get there? God provided it for them. How did these 5 loaves and 2 fish multiply into a full, satisfying meal for 5,000 people? God provided it. The God who provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness was standing before them in Jesus, creating bread and fish out of nothing. It was a demonstration of the power of Jesus. It was a demonstration of the deity of Jesus. The power of Jesus further demonstrated by the amount of leftovers. Verse 17 says, "And they ate, and they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces." Not only did Jesus multiply those 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough to feed a crowd of 15,000, there was so much more than enough that there were 12 basketfuls left over. So the calculations of the disciples, the paltry resources available, the size of the crowd, the multiplication of the small lunch, and the amount of leftovers all point to the power of Jesus, to the amazing ability of Jesus Christ. Jesus will not let us get too pessimistic because of the largeness of the task that He calls us to do. Thirdly, Jesus' compassion will not let us be unengaged observers. Jesus fed this large crowd purely by His own creative power, but He gave His disciples roles to play in the accomplishment of it. Jesus intended for them to be participators instead of just mere spectators. You can see this in 3 statements made by Jesus. The first statement is in verse 13. "You give them something to eat," He said. "Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to Him, 'Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place.' But He said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' They said, 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people.'" How was He getting them involved? Just by assessing the situation and coming to realize the impossibility of the task, Jesus was engaging them in ministering to this large crowd. There is a truth that we must recognize if we are to ever be blessed by God. And that statement to the disciples was designed to draw attention to it. It is simply this: that in order to appreciate the ability of Jesus Christ, we have to come to understand our own inability. That is true in our own personal salvation, and it is true in the work that God has given us to do as the church. The disciples were about to be involved in ministering to this large crowd, but the real ministry came from Jesus. It always does. The second statement, it's the statement to His disciples. Jesus said to them, "Have the people sit down." Jesus told His disciples to have the people sit down. Jesus was about to provide the food, but He gave His disciples the responsibility to get the crowd to sit down. Could not the one who multiplied all that bread and fish get the crowd to sit down? Sure He could. Why then did He tell the disciples to do it? He gave them something meaningful to do so that they could participate. The third statement is another directive to His disciples after the miracle. He said to them, "Gather the pieces that are left over." Could not the one who created all of that food also make it disappear? I think He could have. But instead, He chose to have His disciples pick up the leftovers. I believe it is just a small illustration of how God delights in using means to get things done. God does not need us to help him do anything. But he gives us meaningful responsibilities in the accomplishment of his work in the earth. God has given the church the mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And through the agency of men and women taking the gospel to unreached people, he converts some of them and brings them into the kingdom of Christ. Could he not do that some other way? Sure he could. God could convert the whole world miraculously without any help from one human being, but he has chosen not to do it that way. God has chosen to build his church through us, and that is the way that he delights to do it. He gives us meaningful responsibilities, but the task could not be done without him. Jesus wants his disciples to understand that they don't have what people really need, only he does. And they can't give what people really need, only he can. So what I have to offer you is Christ. This miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is about him. One thing I think becomes evident as we look at the account of the feeding of the 5,000 is this, that the Lord Jesus is more than a man. And no understanding of him that does not admit that can possibly be right. And when you put this story together with the other stories about him in the Gospel of Luke, you realize that Jesus is nothing less than God. He is nothing less than God Almighty himself in a human body come down from heaven to introduce himself to mankind and to be the Savior of the world. C.K. Lee was a native Christian leader in China. He was in this country some years ago, and one Sunday he spoke in a modernistic church in California. At the conclusion of the message, a young university student came to him and put to him this good question: why should we export Christianity to China when you have Confucianism in your country? There are three reasons, Mr. Lee said. First of all, Confucius was a teacher, and Christ is a Savior. China needs a Savior more than she needs a teacher. In the second place, Confucius is dead, and Christ is living. China needs a living Savior. And in the third place, Confucius someday is going to appear before Jesus Christ to be judged by him. China needs to know Christ as Savior before she meets him as judge. What C.K. Lee said is true of China, is true of America. Although we seem to have forgotten it, we need a Savior. We need a living Savior who can give life. We have a Savior like that, and it is Jesus Christ. We need to know Christ as Savior before we meet him as judge. Do you know him as Savior? If you do not, then I invite you to come to him today. He is what we all need, and if you want him, you can have him. The message of the gospel is Jesus. There is a genuine universal offer in the Bible from Jesus to come to him and receive exactly what your soul needs. Let's pray.